Get Up with Ned and Josh on Hit 104.7. Got to put my hands
up in the air. Honestly, you're on blast.
I'm on blast. You're on blast.
No, I'm not on blast.
You are on blast.
I don't deserve to be on blast. You're on blast.
Be.
You eat an entire apple core and all, and it has sparked my imagination this morning to hear other weird food habits from Canberrans.
You separate your M&Ms, which I guess that is a food. That's a weird food eating habit. I'm saying you should absolutely be on blast as well.
Okay. Well, look. Merits of who's on blast aside, I do want to hear about this. 131060 is the number to call if you have a weird food habit. We've got Clayton on the line from Civic. Clayton, what is your weird food habit?
Hi. When I eat takeaway, I have to have, like, you know, some burger and then always have to have chips in my mouth or egg and bacon, then hash browns.
So you have to if you're having a burger, you have to have a bit of potato in your mouth at the same time.
Well, if I'm having, you know, egg and bacon, I have hash browns, or
I guess
chips too.
So you just need to have some kind of You have to have some kind of potato-based substance in your mouth while you eat something else, Clayton.
I guess so, when it comes to takeaway.
There you go. Bit of starch to go with everything else. Sam's on the line from Tuggeranong. Sam, what's weird about your food habits?
I like to eat the same as the dude. I eat the core of the apple as well.
You eat the whole apple as well.
Thank you, Sam.
Yeah.
It's not that weird, is it?
Weird. No, I mean, I don't understand why both of you guys like want to eat like horses, because that's how horses eat apples.
No, it's not.
They eat the entire apple.
Yes, because it's so left.
There's no delicacy to it. There's just...
That's like essentially, I'll put it in your terms, something that you can understand, Josh. Imagine if you got a burger and you just cut the circle out and then ate around the middle of it and then just went, cool, I'm full, that's done now.
You know what? When I touch the core of an apple, though, it feels like wood. When I touch the actual outside of a burger, it feels like the rest of the burger.
I don't think you've ever touched the inside of an apple if you feel like it tastes like wood.
We've got Sienna on the line right now from Gungahn. Sienna, what's the weird thing that goes on in your life when it comes to food habits?
My partner eats the entire kiwi fruit skin and all.
Wait a minute.
I do that as well.
Oh my God! Yeah. Really?
You're missing out on so much kiwi fruit.
Do you eat oranges? Do you eat orange skins?
No. Sometimes I spray orange.
So you do draw a line.
That's obvious. I don't eat banana skins. There's a lot of skins I don't eat.
Okay, so you do draw some kind of a line. That's good to know.
There are some things that are just too far for me.
Sienna, does your partner eat the apple core and all as well? Or
no, I was going to point out that apple core is gross. I've seen people do it, and I'm like, I'm going to try all this myself. I'm going to try it out. You can taste the seeds, and it's like it's not smooth and crunchy. It's
you do get what I'm saying. It is a different texture to the rest of the apple, isn't it, Sienna?
Exactly.
Thank you. I'm not mad.
You are both crazy.
And you are eating like a farm animal. There you go.
Hit 104.7's Ned and Josh. Like a fine wine, this show will get better with time. Also like a fine wine, they'll need about 30 years.
John Little, your workers' compensation lawyer. MEJ.com.au.
But Ned, it is Wednesday, means we do the Wednesday work file. And what that is, if you are unaware, is we get people around Canberra who have fascinating jobs, really interesting jobs, uncommon jobs, and we ask them questions about their jobs.
Exactly. If you think you have an interesting job, or you have a suggestion of a job that you would like to hear about, feel free to send us a message on Facebook. We'd love to take suggestions.
We've had hostage negotiator, food photographer take photos for food advertising, and now it's only logical that the next step would be astrophysicist.
That's correct.
We are going to catch up with Brad Tucker, who is an astrophysicist at ANU. In fact, we caught up with him yesterday afternoon, and this is fascinating. It truly is. He's like the Australian Neil deGrasse Tyson. He has every answer to every question you could possibly imagine.
He makes you feel smarter just by listening to him. You go, I understand. I feel like we're on the same level now. And
I think
then
that depends if you're an optimist or a pessimist, because I felt stupider after talking to him. Have a listen to what happened when we caught up with Brad Tucker yesterday afternoon.
Lifting the lid on the most fascinating jobs from around the region.
It's amazing.
It's Ned and Josh's Wednesday work file.
Hey, Brad.
How's it going?
Good, thank you. First question, and this is the only question that I had when we found out that we were going to be talking to you. I mean, I've got a million now, but this was the one that popped straight into my head initially. What do you think about aliens? What do you actually think about aliens?
Yeah, so, okay, I definitely say that they exist. Mm-hmm. Now, when we say aliens in science, usually we're talking about bacteria, you know, small things. In terms of, like, intelligent aliens, definitely. I would say something like this interview, we'll say this Wednesday work chat is happening, I don't know, 10, 20 million times right now in the universe.
Like, really? Wow. So you're talking about like alternate realities and stuff
No, no, I'm just talking about just in our universe.
Wow. Really?
So like, okay, so our galaxy, we have 300 billion stars, 300 billion suns in our Milky Way.
Mm-hmm.
We know roughly each star has at least one planet, sometimes up to, like, you know, we have 8 planets in our solar system. We're not going to talk about Pluto. It's the shame of all astronomers. we know of multiple 5, 6, 7 planetary systems. So there's probably 3 to 5 trillion planets in our galaxy, and there's 2 trillion galaxies in the universe.
Mm.
Wow. So, and if you just think of, like, we think Mars used to be habitable. We think Venus was habitable. We think some of the moons of Jupiter and Saturn are currently habitable. Currently hosting life. So when you add those numbers in, it probably just means that there's a lot of stuff down there. So I would say there's been this tide. 50 years ago was a bit taboo to think aliens.
Yeah.
Most astronomers, you can go up to Mount Shromo, ask anyone, they would say definitely to aliens, and then the debate about how that intelligence plays out. But yeah, I would say for sure.
That's so cool.
Well, in your opinion, and just your opinion alone, what do you think is the most fascinating thing in the universe? What, every time you hear about it or see something about it, go, oh my God, I can't believe that.
Ooh, that's a tough question.
It's a very heavy question.
So that's big. That's like 14 billion years of history condensed down to
one. If you could just pick one thing, that'd be great. Just the one.
No. I fundamentally say, when we try to describe what is the Big Bang.
Right.
Okay.
Because it's the beginning of space and time.
Mm.
And everyone always views as time as this abstract concept, but time is actually a real physical thing that can manipulate. So, like, you can change time, you move through time differently. Like, for instance, let's go to Melbourne.
Mm.
So I'm going to fly, you can drive and you can walk.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. So going to Melbourne, it takes about an hour flying, mm-hmm. modulo, not Tiger.
Mm.
driving 7-8 hours.
Yep.
Walking, let's say it's
a year for me, probably.
Well, no, 600 kilometers. Let's say you can do 30 kilometers a day, so 20 days.
Yeah.
Right, let's be generous. Mm. So, how much did you age going to Melbourne?
Like 10 hours?
Yeah.
6 hours?
I aged about a day an hour, and you aged about 20 days.
20 days, yeah.
So you move through time differently, even though you move to the same 3 points in space.
Wow. Yeah.
But it's more than that.
Do you do stuff like this often, where you just hurt people's brains?
Yeah.
Like I'm just sitting here right now going, ow.
But then you realize we can actually physically do it when we travel fast.
Yeah.
So like GPS satellites are in a different frame of time. So this idea about what our actual universe is such a fascinating concept that is not just this theoretical abstract thing.
Wow.
You remember a couple of years ago when, speaking of the Big Bang, like the Hadron Collider test was done, and like I genuinely for a second there thought the world was going to cave in on itself, because there were all these news stories coming out saying we could accidentally recreate the Big Bang and cause the... Did you, as somebody who knew what was going on, like at least better than me, were you even remotely concerned that could happen?
I was rooting for it. I was like, yeah! So it was one of those things, like the prediction that said it was going to happen, it would immediately say that it would evaporate. My thought was, if it actually does, like, dude, we just created like a little Big Bang. Because our universe is going to end at some point, right? So billions of years down the
road. Morning, everyone.
Yeah.
Enjoy the rest of your day.
Don't worry, it's long after the sun has destroyed the earth. You're okay.
Oh, sweet. So it's going to get a lot worse before it gets any better.
That's right. It will warm up. Yeah. So, you know, on a nice morning like tonight, you know, think about it, it will be warmer. And so, like, the universe will end. And so it was kind of an idea about what can we recreate to see, because there's a theory that our Big Bang was a previous universe that has ripped itself apart that gave birth to our universe. When our universe dies, it might actually rip apart and give birth to a new one.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of like, hey, we might actually be able to test it.
Stick around Canberra, because coming up next, more of our Wednesday work file with ANU astrophysicist Brad Tucker. In fact, next we ask him, as a guy who is right into space, would he go into space if he had the chance? He said no.
Yeah.
Find out exactly why he said no up after this.
Hit 104.7's Ned and Josh. Like a fine wine, this show will get better with time. Also like a fine wine, they'll need about 30 years.
John Little, your workers' compensation lawyer. MEJ.com.au. Lifting the lid on the most fascinating jobs from around the region.
It's amazing.
It's Ned and Josh's Wednesday work file.
15 minutes away from 8, and we are catching up with astrophysicist Brad Tucker right now. He's letting us know about his incredibly fascinating job. Let's keep the questions flowing.
Would you personally, if you could go to space, would you?
No.
Do you want, you don't
nope.
want to go?
Nope.
How come?
it's really dangerous.
Yeah.
So so my wife works in space medicine. Mm. So there's actually like people who do space medicine.
Mm. Yeah, right.
And that's longevity space flight. How can humans survive space?
Mm-hmm.
And astronauts have a huge amount of problems that aren't publicized. Like we are cancers. They have vision problems. Like, so if you think about it, you've ever get up and you get lightheaded, like because your fluid is not quite in your brain. Astronauts have that all the time. Because the fluid isn't flowing right in their blood.
Gravity,
right?
Yeah.
So if you actually ever see an astronaut come back to Earth, you will never see them standing for at least 2 weeks, because otherwise they stand up and they faint. So they have like vision problems. Even the spacesuits, most astronauts have shoulder reconstruction surgery.
Because they're so heavy.
Yeah, and so when they go from microgravity to gravity, tears their shoulders apart. So gravity, like space, does a huge amount of things to your body. Here, I'll do a pop quiz. What species of animal has been in space the most? Not ignoring like bacteria and stuff that doesn't count.
Monkeys?
Dog.
So the Russians love picking up stray dogs. and like stereotypically, the French chose cats. Jellyfish.
You're kidding.
Really?
Yeah. 60,000 jellyfish have been bred in space. So because jellyfish form by crystals forming in their tentacles, and that's how they use as like buoyancy to figure out up and down with gravity.
Right.
So NASA bred generations of jellyfish to have them form in space.
Yeah.
Brought them down, and then the jellyfish didn't know how to swim on Earth.
Wow.
That's insane.
Yeah, that's my brain.
Yeah.
So the most species of any animal in space, like that from Earth.
Yeah.
Jellyfish.
Imagine being.
That's crazy.
So we technically already have aliens because we've bred stuff in space and then brought them to Earth.
Yeah. People have bred vegetables in space and then have eaten them, not Martian poop potatoes like Matt Damon.
Disgusting.
Yeah. Everything about Matt Damon is disgusting. people have grown lettuce and stuff like that on the space station and have eaten it. So we're working towards moving to these sorts of things.
Incredible.
That jellyfish thing is
that's
insane. They just don't know how to swim at all.
Yeah, like they can swim, but they don't know up and down. So they're disorientated, right? Yeah. Because the way they know how to control their bodies, it does not apply.
Yeah. And I've seen people try to teach kids how to swim. So imagine trying to teach a jellyfish how to swim. Brad, thank you so much for joining us. We literally talk for hours, but we've already talked for so long.
Yeah.
So, mate, thank you so much for having a chat to us.
Anytime, go.
Just fascinating. Like,
smartest guy I've ever met.
Yep, that's 100% true.
And if you want to hear more from him, he's actually going to be at the Mount Stromlo Astronomy Night this Friday at Western Creek. It's free to go, but you have to actually pick up tickets on the website.
But if you want to hear more from him in the next, say, 5 hours, we're going to have the full unedited interview with him for the Wednesday Workfile on our podcast. You can just search for that anywhere you get podcasts, Ned and Josh. Our chat with him went for 20 minutes.
I could literally talk to him for a full day.
Yeah, and then once we push stop on the recorder, we talked to him for another 40 minutes. Yep. It's just, go to the Mount Stromlo thing. He's a fascinating dude.
Mm-hmm. Hit 104.7's Ned and Josh. Like a fine wine, this show will get better with time. Also like a fine wine, they'll need about 30 years.
John Little, your workers' compensation lawyer. MEJ.com.au.
A 600-kilo crocodile has been caught up in the Northern Territory.
That's insane.
600 kilos. There are cars that weigh less than that.
How long is it?
It's 4.7 meters, 71 meters long.
That's longer than my car, at least. It's longer than most cars.
So you and I aren't 2 meters tall each.
Yeah.
So that's longer than you and I end to end.
Yeah, we are 180. I'm 183, you're 185.
Mm.
Put us both end to end and then also maybe
still
like a 5-year-old.
Oh, no, yeah, because there's heaps more. Yeah,
there's heaps more.
Be a 5-year-old. That's,
exactly.
Oh, my God, it's terrifying. They put a tiny crocodile, a normal sized crocodile next to this crocodile, and it looks like a tiny crocodile.
It looks like one of those little alligators they bring to your school.
It looks like one of those don't you speak to me or my son anymore memes.
Yeah.
Like, that's how it looks. It looks like he's the baby crocodile next to this massive crocodile.
It's terrifying, this crocodile. It really is.
That I really enjoy about this story, though.
Mm.
It's taken 10 years to get him. There are rangers up near the Catherine River in the Northern Territory that have been chasing this one crocodile for 10 years.
It's the big one.
Now, I've done some looking into it, so I know the answers to these questions, but my first initial questions were, how is that a job?
Well, Steve Irwin did a pretty good job of it.
Professional Crocodile Dundee. That's what you are. You're just literally hunting a crocodile for a decade. How do you have deadlines at your work? You're like, look, I'm going to need another 3 years.
Didn't catch any.
I haven't found him, yeah. And really, the trail's gone cold. I'm going to need another 10 years.
Well, that's the thing. Do you only look after this one, or do you do
it?
Like a cop, just say, you're going after the big bad guy, but then you're also catching perps on the street.
Let me tell you, I know the answer is they look after all crocodiles. But yeah. The thing I want to imagine is it's just this one grizzled veteran that has been for the last 10 years trying to track down this crocodile.
Mm.
And like, it's in the last moments of capturing this guy, has looked him dead in the eyes and gone, it's either you or me, crocodile.
Sounds like you're talking about Quint from Jaws. That is a movie, you realize?
How great would that be if that was exactly what happened here?
It is a movie.
This guy is like 67 and has finally been allowed to retire. They've got this crocodile and they've gone, you know what, Thompson?
Yeah.
You've earned a break. You've earned a bloody break, you legend. That's what I really hope has happened up here. Yeah. I know it isn't, but I really like to pretend.
Hit 104.7's Ned and Josh. Like a fine wine, this show will get better with time. Also like a fine wine, they'll need about 30 years.
John Little, your workers' compensation lawyer. MEJ.com.au.
And Ned, one of the biggest news stories in the world, if not the biggest, is the boys are out of the cave.
That's right. The Thailand soccer team and the coach that was with them have all successfully been pulled out of the cave.
It's fantastic news. And it really, really is just happy, happy news today. Like, you're looking at all the news websites and everyone is so stoked. Thailand's essentially in party mode. Everybody over there is having a massive party. So excited that the Wild Boars are out of the cave, the under 12 soccer team. But Ned, honestly, the last week, one of the things that has, and I'm so glad it's ended well because this is all just happy today.
Yeah.
But one of the things that was always going to be a silver lining of this was that every single issue you see in the news now, and particularly politics, it's like a sport. Everyone comes down on one side or the other, and the other side has to be beaten, and you have to be right, and the other side has to be wrong. Every comment I've seen about this is positive.
Yep.
And everyone, no matter where you lie on the political spectrum, is on the same side. Let's get these boys out of the cave. I hope this ends well. Fingers crossed. Sending thoughts. It's just people have united behind this as a story, and you don't see that a lot in 2018.
Well,
it's been heartwarming.
Even Donald Trump tweeted out, and it was nothing about him, nothing about America, literally just so happy that these boys are out, they're safe.
So it's just been amazing to see that kind of human spirit, everybody coming together with good thoughts for these boys. The Aussie doctor that's over there, have you heard about him?
No.
His name's Richard Harris. He's an anaesthetist from Adelaide, and he's also got heaps of experience in cave diving.
Mm.
He literally was the doctor that was going in there to the boys, and he would go in and stay with them until the last boy left, and then he'd go back out and then go do it all again the next day. And he was keeping the boys calm, judging whether or not they could actually swim. And the people saying he should be Australian of the Year this year.
That's incredible.
Absolutely
that really
amazing.
Is. Everyone just stepped up. Everyone stepped up in every single possible way, and it's incredible. It really has shown.
The teams over in Thailand, multinational, the Thai teams, everyone's done such an awesome job. And look, the Wild Boars, most popular soccer team in the world. The World Cup's on right now. More people care about these boys than care about what's going on in Russia. Chris Reason is chief news reporter for 7 News. He is in Thailand. We caught up with him. Morning, Chris. How are you?
Oh, tired, but pretty happy, I've got to say. It was an extraordinary experience last night to be involved in that. What a moment. I mean, think back to a week ago. Weren't we all sitting there privately thinking, this has got of working, and now not only has it succeeded, it succeeded with absolute efficiency, swiftness. What those divers have done is just something extraordinary.
Yeah,
it really is, and it's obviously we're seeing lots of pictures of scenes of pretty much Thailand partying on into the night. What is the vibe there? Is everyone just celebrating like you wouldn't believe?
You should have seen it when the word came out that that they were out, and it's sort of quietly the media kind of knew first, and then it slowly trickled out. Well, slowly, it lightning flashed across social media, and we were sort of down here surrounded by hundreds of volunteers that have been helping this rescue effort, and they just erupted.
Awesome.
It was sensational, and those scenes have reflected across the country. Street parties, Prime Minister going nuts. Everybody is just so elated.
Well, before they freed all of the boys, which is amazing, was there a little bit of tension in the air knowing that they were actually going to bring out the coach with the 4 boys, which they hadn't done up until that point?
Yeah, well, as you know, on the Sunday and the Monday, they basically brought out 4 at a time. And the way the whole plan was sensitively sort of poised and balanced was it was designed just to bring 4 out. That was the number of divers and air tanks and timings they had, etc. And they said, you know, we can't really leave this last fella behind by himself in the cave overnight. We've got to stretch ourselves and bring out this fifth. It turned out to be the coach that they brought out last. And so they did. And when they brought out that fifth guy, there was just a great feeling of relief from everybody here. Yeah. It was extraordinary.
And how is everybody? Have you got any reports of how they're all doing at the moment? I'm presuming the four and the coach went to hospital as well, like the other eight had done previously.
Yeah, look, we haven't got the update on that, those five from last night yet, but they held a press conference at the hospital yesterday on the eight that were already in. And look, given what they've been through, they've come out of it pretty well, guys, I've got to say. Two of them have got signs of pneumonia, lung infection. All of them have lost body weight, about 1 kilo to 2 kilos each.
Wow.
There's some other minor conditions and problems. They're worried, of course, about long-term psychological issues. Mm. They're onto that already. They're in quarantine at the moment. They're just under observation. Their parents can't even give them a hug or a kiss or a cuddle. They've got to basically talk to them through glass for this next couple of days while the testing regime goes on and they're given the all clear, which must be frustrating for them, obviously. But it's for their benefit, for the boys' benefit. It will be over shortly, and then they'll be able to physically reunite and come back together again, which I'm sure they are looking forward to.
Chris, maybe you might be able to confirm a nice rumour that we're hearing at the moment. Have the boys been invited to the FIFA World Cup final?
They have, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
FIFA reached out to them last week while they were in the cave and said, boys, if you make it out in time and you feel like coming, we've got 13 seats ready for you at the final, July 15th. And look, it just would be wonderful to see them go there, wouldn't it? I mean, forget the World Cup soccer teams. These guys, the Wild Boars, are the world's favourite soccer team right now.
Yeah.
It was nice to see them reunited last night in the hospital. They're in there. They've given the entire floor of the hospital, the eighth floor, and they're kind of they're in there together, going through this ordeal. Talk about team bonding. Is there another team in the world that's going through what they've gone?
Yeah, exactly.
Last couple of weeks.
Yeah. That's it, mate. It's absolutely incredible. Thank you so much for having a chat to us this morning, Chris, and thanks for keeping us updated a couple of times during the week as well. We really appreciate it. I think you've earned a rest as well.
Always a pleasure, guys. Anytime. Thank you.
Hit 104.7's Ned and Josh. Like a fine wine, this show will get better with time. Also like a fine wine, they'll need about 30 years.
John Little, your workers' compensation lawyer. MEJ.com.au.
Bit of scary news yesterday, though, Josh. George Clooney was in a car accident that resulted in him actually having to go to the hospital in an ambulance from the accident.
It made world news for about, I'm going to say, 2 hours, because everyone saw I'm guessing the press saw the ambulance. They saw George Clooney. They went, this is serious.
Yeah.
Took about 2 hours for them to go, not serious. He's okay.
For the record, I just checked because I really wanted to make sure. I didn't want to scare anyone. Mm. He's been sent home.
He's fine.
He's been sent home to recover. I think he might have had a broken... I think he broke something. I think he broke his foot.
Yeah.
But it's nothing that bad. I think, or maybe... I know the driver broke their foot. He's okay. But what happened was he was driving down a road in Italy, because he's in Italy at the moment with his wife, and he was driving on his moped, and a car pulled out of nowhere, and he's just hit the front of the car and has gone over the... He's been thrown... Like 20 feet in the, like, across.
Not in the air, he'd be dead.
Not vertically.
Across.
He didn't hit a trampoline.
Yeah.
No, he got hit and then went 20, he flew like 20 metres in front of himself, and he also hit his head on the windscreen.
Oh, God.
But he was wearing a helmet, obviously, as you should.
Smart.
If any time there was an endorsement to wear a helmet.
Can I just say quickly, though, would you, if you were picturing George Clooney riding down an Italian street on a moped, he's not wearing a helmet in your mind, is he?
No. He's wearing a scarf.
Yeah, good on him, actually. Good on him for being safe, because in my mind, he is not wearing a helmet. The wind is blowing through his hair.
Exactly. And he's got so much hair. He's got these plugs in. He's great. Apparently, he only broke a rib. So that's pretty good. No head injuries whatsoever.
God, imagine hitting George Clooney.
That's what I want to talk about, because I've been in a car accident before, and the second it's done, it's not scary. Well, it's still scary, but the second it's done, you go, is everyone okay? Is everyone okay? Okay. The second that you know that everyone's okay, you go, this is going to cost a lot of money. That's the second thing you think of.
Should clear up. Your car accident involved another car. So you were just, weren't you guys?
It was just by ourselves. Yeah.
So this guy who's hit George Clooney has gone, oh my God, I've hit someone.
Exactly.
So you're going, I'm okay, but is the other person okay?
And that's it. You get out and you go, oh my goodness, are you okay? I'm assuming. And you go, oh my goodness, are you okay? You're on the ground. And he goes, oh, not really. I'll call an ambulance. After the ambulance goes, you go, cool.
That's George
Clooney. From here on, that was George Clooney.
Oh, my God.
I'm in Italy, and I know who that is. is scary.
And his face hit my windshield. I've wrecked George Clooney. Mm. I've actually ruined George Clooney for the world.
The most handsome man in the world I have potentially ruined.
You'd just be like going over, trying to look at his face, like, yeah. Is that, he seemed fine. Take him in the ambulance before you get a look at him. Yeah. Like, I need to see his face. I need to know what I've done.
I tell you what I'd do. If I was this guy, I'd go over to George Clooney and go, are you okay? And he goes, oh, not really. I think my rib's broken. And you go, cool, my foot's broken. So, all right, Ethan Stevens. I'd call the ambulance. I go, are you going to be okay? And he'll be like, yeah, okay, I'm going to be all right. I'd rip the number plates off my car and I'd just take off. I'm like,
be so scared.
I can't handle this. I can't pay for it. I don't want to be responsible for breaking George Clooney.
Well, my good friend, and I feel like this is important that you hear this, that's called a hit and run. And you would go to jail. Okay, all right, there you go.
Hit 104.7's Ned and Josh. Like a fine wine, this show will get better with time. Also like a fine wine, they'll need about 30 years.
John Little, your workers' compensation lawyer. MEJ.com.au.
We are talking engagement.
It's a nice day for a white wedding.
Mm. Yeah, that's right. Hayley Baldwin and Justin Bieber announced their engagement yesterday.
Yep, confirmed it.
Now, we didn't even know they were dating officially. They were hanging out together. But look, they've known each other for a long time. That's the saving grace. But you combine this with Pete Davidson and Ariana Grande at the beginning of the year, who'd apparently only known each other for like 2 months and got engaged. Mm. And we're asking the question this morning, Canberra, on 131060, did you have a super quick engagement?
It can have ended with you guys not ending up together, or you. Hopefully we can get some kind of Disney ending where you guys got engaged very quickly and you just knew it was meant to be and you're still together. We'll take any kind of call.
Bit of love at first sight. That's what we're looking for this morning, but we will. We'll take the sad stories as well. This could end up being a cautionary tale. We've got Nick on the line from Greenway. How are you, Nick?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Yeah, not too bad. Well, thank you. Now, did you have a very quick engagement or did you know someone that did?
Me, I was engaged within 2 months of officially getting together with my now husband.
And he's still together? Husband?
We're still together. Oh. We've got two little boys.
Oh, brilliant. Lovely. And what inspired you to say yes? Did you pop the question? Did he? I'm guessing he.
He did. I kept guessing where he was going to propose. I'm like, oh, that's a great idea. Like, bit ruined, but yes, no, we're married for 2 years this year.
Wow.
Well, how long was it between the proposal and the actual wedding, Nick?
I think it was 16 months, maybe.
Okay, you guys got married pretty quickly. Oh, that's awesome. Well, this can work well.
That's the thing. It's always, I have never been invited to a wedding until this year, and I got invited to another wedding this year, and I got really excited. I'm like, oh, I get to put on my suit. It's not until like 2020.
Yeah,
I'm
there
like,
you
come
go.
On.
Yeah. Lexi's on the line from Turner right now. Your parents got married pretty quickly, Lexi?
Yeah, they got engaged after 6 weeks of knowing each other.
Wow. No kidding.
That's awesome.
So how does that get described to you as the kid? Are they still together?
They're still together.
Yeah.
They've been together for 32 years.
Oh, wow.
That's crazy.
But how does that get explained to you? What, they just knew? Is that what they've said to you?
Well, that's what they said originally, is that they just knew. And then we did the maths and found out that, you know, my mum pretty much got knocked up on the second day.
Oh,
right, okay.
No.
Yeah, well, I mean, was it with you, Lexi, or was it with one of your siblings?
No, it was my elder brother.
Well, that means he's the catalyst of the relationship. And they've stuck together for 30-something years, so that's incredible.
Your older brother's like Cupid. Thank you very much for the call, Lexi. We've got Molly on the line from Downer. Molly, did you get engaged super quickly?
After 17 days.
You're joking.
Are you still together, Molly?
Well, the thing is we knew each other on Facebook, and I flew over from the U.S. to meet him, and he proposed to me while he was here visiting for 3 weeks. And I went home, packed up my life 9 weeks later, moved to Australia, and we eloped 2 days after I got back.
You're kidding.
Wow.
This is amazing. So did you guys, how long were you sort of talking on Facebook before you came over?
Oh, we kind of figured it was about 2 years before we were like, oh, there's something there. This is, why not? Let's try this.
That being said, that's crazy.
For 17
Oh, there's
days.
A show called Catfish. It's very much a real thing.
We were both kind of thinking that as I was on the flight. I was going, oh my gosh, what if he's not really, what if he's just absolutely psycho? I'm going across the world to meet this stranger. And he was on the other end the same way. They lost my luggage, so I was delayed. And he was calling his mother going, oh my gosh, she's got to be like smuggling drugs or something.
Oh.
Like,
just so worried about all the variables.
Yeah, there's so much left up to chance with something like that. But I'm so glad it's worked out for you, Mally.
So how long have you guys been together now?
Oh, we were married for 2 years and 8 days before he passed away.
Oh, that's very sad.
Oh, that's really sad.
He's really sad. Yeah. Well, look, that is, it's like, it worked, though. It worked for
exactly.
you guys.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, Mally,
he was my dream come true.
Oh,
well, that's
Mally.
The thing. I really like that you kind of, when you know, I really do subscribe to the feeling of if you actually do know, then you know. Mm. And I don't think you should have to wait because other people are like, oh, well, hang on, give it a second.
Do it on your own time.
Exactly.
You know.
Yeah, Mally.
Exactly. Well, that's really, really nice,
thank
Mally.
You so
thank
much
you for
the
your story.
Call.
Yeah, no worries.
Have a great day.
You too, guys.
Bye.
Hit 104.7's Ned and Josh. Like a fine wine, this show will get better with time. Also like a fine wine, they'll need about 30 years.
John Little, your workers' compensation lawyer. MEJ.com.au.
Josh, yesterday I had a bit of reflection and thought to myself, you know what? I've got too many clothes. I have a box full of clothes that I haven't even opened since I moved to Canberra. And so yesterday I decided I'm going to go through it and I'm going to give it all to charity because I don't need these clothes and someone out there probably very much does need these clothes.
Yeah, it's a really nice thing to do if you get rid of some clothes because, and I've seen your wardrobe, you're right, you've got a lot, you have too many options first thing in the morning. You must wake up and go, what today?
But here's the thing, I only wear the same, like I wear one of five shirts. That's all I wear.
They're just basically, it's almost like you're running your own Planet Hollywood of your own life.
Exactly.
Like, here's the shirt I wore.
I really do have shirts that I'm like, I remember when I wore this to a festival. So that's why I'm going to keep that. And I thought, you know what? No more. I packed up two massive bags full of clothes and I was like, I'm going to take these to charity, give them away. I went down there and I gave them to the lady and she went, oh, we don't usually get this many clothes from boys. And I was like, well, I've got too many clothes. That's the thing. I just need to get rid of all of these clothes. And she was like, oh, that's a really nice thing to do. And I was like, fantastic. Handed them over. I felt good about myself. Started feeling good about myself. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to go inside. And I went inside the charity shop and just started looking through the clothes there.
Mm.
And I am actually, not immediately, probably 10 minutes into it, nearly buying a jacket, went, this is the reason that I am here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The reason I am currently donating clothes is because I have too many as is.
You are 130,000% going to end up on one of those reality shows about hoarders.
No, I know.
Where they come in and you are just surrounded by cats, surrounded by like old packaging from food that you ate years ago, just piled to the roof. You'll have like those rooms that are essentially insulated with newspaper and you'll go, you know what, I remember this newspaper is from the day that I first went to this concert.
Exactly.
You will be on one of these shows for sure.
And I'll be the worst kind of contestant because I'll like,
these aren't contestants.
Well, yeah.
These are people they try and help.
I'll be the worst kind of specimen, if you will. Because I'll know that this is a problem, but I'll just not do anything about it.
Just don't get cats. I think that is actually where the wheels will come off the train just a little bit, okay?
Yeah, all right.
You didn't buy any clothes though, did you?
I didn't. I left. I was like, I can't do this. No, I need to go. Good. I nearly bought a spoon, though. It was a really
nice spoon. You bought a spoon?
Yeah, it was a really
you
nice spoon.
You're absolutely ending up on one of these shows. Do not get cats. Really do not. Shall we call it?
Yeah, let's call it.
All right, that is the end of the show this morning. And Ned, you know what?
Yeah.
You know, I'm super worried about your future, to be quite honest.
No one, well, actually, yeah, should be. Someone should be, because I'm not worried. So someone actually should be concerned.
Things are going to get very, very grim. You know what? Beth is going to be joining you up next, taking care of you. You don't have to worry about your future. Stuff from Linkin Park. Also, Sam Smith on the way. But Ned, if you'd like to win tickets right now, we're going to give you one final opportunity before we fully call it a day here.
Experience the World War One Battle of Hummel in virtual reality at the Australian War Memorial.
That is right. We have an exclusive event happening tomorrow night at the Australian War Memorial. It is the Battle of Hummel in France. Your chance to go and experience it in virtual reality. There'll be drinks, some canapes, and there'll be an Australian War Memorial expert to take you through everything you see in the Battle of Hummel. It's going to be very, 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 very moving. You and I have already seen it.
It's incredible.
It's pretty incredible. If you'd like to come along for this incredible experience, get on the phone right now. Just a little bit of a last minute freebie ticket. You could be there. But Ned, we will join you from 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. You can check out the podcast if you've missed any of this morning's show on iTunes. Just search Ned and Josh. 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. We'll meet back here. Speak to you then. Bye-bye.
See ya.
Sevens, Ned and Josh.